starting off with one of the most fun guys, smart guys, brilliant businessmen you can have in the city of Milwaukee. He is Greg Marcus, Chief Executive Officer and President of Marcus Corp. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Steve. I actually wondered who you were talking about a minute ago.
who else is coming?
Exactly.
No, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that stuff. And I love the fact that, one, you listen to the show. And you heard me last week talking about the Hilton Milwaukee and all the stuff that's going on. There was a story in the Journal Sentinel, which we're going to reference in a little bit. And it has to do with the hotel business in Milwaukee. And you know it very well. And I was just had lunch at the Pfister Cafe the other day. Keep that place awesome because I love it. And you did a big renovation project there, which takes us to the hotel right down the street on Wisconsin, Hilton Milwaukee. And you asked me, or at least your guy asked me, let's have Greg come on and talk about this. So the story is renovation, but closing parts of the existing hotel. Separate tower.
Yep.
So explain the Hilton side of this story, your side of the story.
Sure. Look, the hotel, there's an original section and an addition that we built about 25 years ago when we built that water park. We always try to do new things.
Everybody was building water parks.
So we have a water park in Lake Geneva, at the Grand Geneva. So we were like, let's try and do an urban version of a water park. And we knew we wanted more rooms. It's a 550 key hotel generally, roughly. And we were going to try and get up close to 730 something. We were trying to get up to 750. Because at that time they were building the convention center, it was originally Mecca, and they were converting it to the Wisconsin Center, and they were building it to the south toward the Hilton and connecting in with a skywalk. And my dad at the time, who was leading the company, and he had said, well, if you do that, we're going to add these rooms. And that was why we did it, without subsidy, actually, because we were historically – We felt we could do things in the city without subsidy.
Which you and I both know is not the way it's done generally now. There's always sort of different programs, different governmental additions to the financial piece of this that makes sense for both sides.
Oh, well, yeah, may not. I mean, you have to, if you think about it, virtually no hotel has built downtown in probably the last 15 to 20 years, 15 years for sure, without a subsidy, because most of them use what's known as EB-5, which is the sale of green cards. I'm not against EB-5, but we have to be honest and call it a subsidy. And it's led to us, you got to be careful with subsidy. Subsidy should be a scalpel, not an axe. And, it's become an axe. And when that happens, the market can get challenged. And we now have 4 hotels in reorganization in our market downtown right now. Our RevPAR, which is the metric that measures occupancy times rate. Because someone say, well, your occupancy is this, but I could fill up to 100% if I charged $5 a night.
Right.
So you multiply them together, and you can compare across markets. In our peer cities, the 10 peer cities we have, we're 7th out of 10. That does not scream, build more hotel rooms.
Right. So the question that I think the Journal Sentinel was asking, at least the reporter was asking, is if we hear the story about we need all these rooms for all these big events, what's the 25% reduction in the number of guest rooms? How does those two things correlate? How do they match?
Well, because, there's two reasons for that. One is that, as I said, we right now, the market is not a healthy market. Now, it's going to be a healthy market. We've done things to make it a healthy market. This is going to be a little bit of a circuitous answer.
Sure.
So why did we expand the convention center? And Marty and his team did a great job. And Peggy and her team, they market the city beautifully. But the reason that we made this investment, and when I say we, I mean the biggest revenue generator for the Wisconsin Center District is the hotel tax. It's not just us. We have all the hotel owners in town pay the tax. And we got behind this idea of expanding the convention center to make it more efficient. Not to be – look, we can take bigger conventions for sure, but how many nights a year is that? Remember, we're open 365 days a year. One thing I've noticed is we're always open.
Right.
And those aren't every day. And so – We have to, and our convention season is limited. Not a lot of people come into Milwaukee this time of year. But summer's beautiful. Spring, fall, when we have spring. So the way it works now, if a convention, give a 7-day window, and then let's say the convention runs for 3 days. You have 2 days of setup and takedown on each end. When the 2 days of setup and takedown are going on, there's no one in the hotel rooms. There's nobody in the restaurants. There's nobody shopping. There's all the things that the tourism economy generates, because it's very powerful, not just for hotels, but for our whole community. when we made the convention center larger, we did it so you could take bigger conventions, but really the reason it was done, and Marty will tell you this, is that it was done so that we could back-to-back conventions and stagger them. And so now when somebody's in setup or takedown, another group can be running a convention. And so while the convention's that way, it makes the whole district more efficient.
Yeah, so you take those empty nights and you can fill them, backfill them with all these other conventions and sort of slide in, you know, at the same time. One's taken down, one's going in. I love the idea. That's the importance of a plan, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about somebody, we expanded this space, and now we have the versatility for all the hotel operators, restaurant owners, to actually have business during that transition period.
That's exactly right. And so that investment, that's a $425 million investment. That investment in our community, which we were behind and helped lead, that was done to get this the current hotel stock to be healthy. And so now, at the same time, all of a sudden, as we're now trying, now, okay, the Hilton, we want to be good, we want to invest in our hotel. It had been a number of years we invest regularly in our hotel, and now it's up for a big investment. It's, you know, these things, we invest in a 7-year cycle, which is like, you know, soft goods, carpeting and bedspreads, things like that. Then there's in a 15 to 20 years where case goods, it's the nightstands, it's the armoires, the really big stuff. But then there's like the 30 years. The bathrooms. So right now we've got tubs and showers within the tubs, but a modern hotel bathroom, as right. You know, is walk into a shower.
So this renovation will be that 30-year vision?
That exactly. Right. That's really substantial. So now we had this, but at the same time, all of a sudden I start hearing, hey, we need a new hotel. And let me tell you, I know what that means. Giant subsidy. Because there has not been a convention center hotel built in a major metropolitan city, or even minor probably, in years that isn't in America, that isn't subsidized.
Real quick, how does Milwaukee rank as far as hotel bookings among the cities of our size? Let's say 40, you know, mid-sized cities across the country. Are we top end, middle, low?
You know, I don't know that stuff off the top of my head. I think we sort of hold our own. It's gone down because we needed to make the investment in the center. Just right. Like we invest in our hotels, we have to invest in the center. And it's coming up because it's having effect.
But I think, if anything, we've learned that with Harley and the RNC, this city can host almost anything.
Oh, yeah. It's what the challenge they have is it's a lot of hotels that that the planners have to deal with, and they'd like to consolidate them. And one day, that'll be a great idea. but let's, you know, it's like, let's get our house in order before we go on and build the addition.
He is Greg Marcus, CEO and president of Marcus Corp, longtime owner of hotels and movie theaters. We'll get to all of that after the break. Greg Marcus, our guest on the Monday edition of Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ. Oh, I love that. Holiday music. We're the only show that's doing that so far, which I have no problem with. All right. The season of giving continues. You can join me, yours truly, Steve Scaviti, and our WTMJ Street Team this Thursday, December 19th, noon to 2, beautiful Century Foods in Delafield. I was out there last year. Loved the place. And you can help us participate in the Capco's Kids and Kids Toy Drive. Bring a new unwrapped toy or gift. If you want to use that term, monetary donations also are accepted. Stop by, say hello to me and the WTMJ Street Team at Century Foods in Delafield this Thursday. Always a fun event. Love the holiday season. Greg Marcus, CEO and president of Marcus Corp, is our guest. You want to make one final point on the hotel story?
Yeah, because like a good interviewee, I didn't answer your question. the question of why we reduced the rooms. So we had to make a decision about how much to invest. You know, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to my shareholders. And as this convention center is opening, all of a sudden I'm hearing about this, well, we should build a new hotel and subsidize it. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, if I'm going to get a competitor, essentially, that's going to be subsidized, which I don't have a problem with, again, you're going to have to do that, I understand. Well, either you have to wait until we're healthy. I said, and I've said to the powers that be, I said, look, we could do the whole hotel, but then you have to give us that corridor to let us know we're going to be healthy, or you're going to have to provide subsidy for us, too. And we couldn't get it done. And so we said, look, okay, we got to go forward. We're already behind. We should have had it done for the RNC. We should have had it done for Connect when all the planners come in. And it's finally like, okay, we got to go. We said, we're just not going to do the tower. Now, maybe one day it comes back as hotel rooms, or it's an apartment building one day. Who knows? You know, it makes good multifamily. It'll be something.
So it'll be something. It's going to be in sort of a transition period.
Yeah.
All right. The movie business. You and I have talked extensively about this on your other appearances. I love going to the movies. I just was telling you that my wife and I are going to go see Wicked. How's the movie business doing?
We had an amazing Thanksgiving. Actually, record-breaking.
And really?
Yeah. No, it was not, you know, I would sit here and say, now, every time I get, I'm not surprised because We've had all these surprises. They shouldn't be surprises anymore when you have the Barbenheimer surprise, and when you have Wonka last year, and when you had, you know, Deadpool this summer, and when you had, you know, the Tom Cruise, you know, what's it called? Top Gun. There's no, it's not surprise. This is the business. We're a business of hits.
So they're still making great movies, and and this is, I've said this to you before, and this is why I think you guys are so good at what you do. It's the experience. Oh. We took our grandson Max to see Wild Robot, which surprised the heck out of me. Great film. But the experience, you know, eating the pizza in the seats and having to bring the popcorn out and the comfortable seats, first of all. I can remember going to the Majestic Theater when I was a kid in Cudahy, Layton Avenue. That old little theater, which I think the building's still there, but it's something else now. And you basically just got your popcorn and your licorice, and you sat down, and there was still popcorn on the floor from the last people. That's not the experience anymore. Marcus, your experience when you go to a film is like the best in the business.
Well, I thank you for that. We try to. I'm not. I will not debate you on that. We've always tried to keep the experience, keep making it better. And I mean, look, and it's in any business. You want to keep improving it. But at its core, we're human beings. We want to be with other people. I'll bet you there's something scientific about this where, like, you can smell other people around you. Your chemistry changes. And how you experience and perceive something changes. And I'll tell you this. I always tell people. There will be zero children 20 years from now who say to anyone who asks, oh, I remember when my parents took me to my first movie. We went to see Wild Robot. They took me into the family room, and we turned on the TV, and we sat on the couch. There'll be none. But you know what? There'll be so many that say, I remember when my grandfather took me to see Wild Robot. It was my first movie.
Yeah.
And he held my hand, and he bought me popcorn, and I thought the robot was real. I mean, that's
it's an amazing story. If you haven't seen the film, I don't know where it's available now, but it was really good. I was surprised by it. What are the challenges still in that industry?
Our biggest challenge is one nobody thinks about, because the challenge is not getting people to go to the movies. People want to go when the product is there. It's if you build it, they will come. Very simple. As we saw, record-breaking Thanksgiving. Wicked, Gladiator, Moana. Moana was the biggest movie of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Our problem is at Hollywood, because the linear business, cable TV, cable and streaming everyone likes to put streaming against the movies. I don't quite know why. The truth is it's cable TV against streaming. They're all the same companies. Their balance sheets are challenged. And so they were making less product. And so that means less movies. And we're a numbers game. If you give us a certain 10 movies, it's very simple. If we get 10 movies, two are great, two stink, and six are somewhere in the middle. And so you have to have enough. You have to be at the table long enough.
Let me throw a theory out there. So we all heard about streaming. Everybody signed up for all the different services. And that used to be a sort of a bargain. Well, that bargain is getting more expensive every day. And all of a sudden, the movie option going to a live screening at a movie theater is sort of in the same ballpark. It's not that different. So that pricing advantage that streaming services had for really good films is sort of gone away, gone by the wayside.
Yeah, not going to complain about that either.
yeah, less competition.
Well, yeah. Look, but the truth is, I will say, it's part of an ecosystem. We need, we call this the ancillary markets, the streaming, the premium video on demand, the video on demand. That's all one pie. So people, and so we need that to be healthy too, because the healthier the pie is, the more movies they make. And that means there's more movies in the theaters, and so we do well. And then, because by the way, we know, the whole industry knows, if it played to theater, it will do better on a streamer. Because just think about, it's common sense. Think about when you go on your streaming service, right? You're laying there and you see 1,000 tiles. And you're like, I don't know what to watch, right? But, oh, I heard a Wild Robot on the Steve Scafidi show. We should watch that. I know that was in the theaters. We should see that.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
Have you made a video for the sort of as people walk in the theater and the lights go down, like a Christmas holiday video for this year?
I don't. They replay that. Actually, this year we're promoting Marcus Movie Club, so it's actually fun. It's my dad and my brother.
Oh, nice.
Everyone likes to see my dad put me in my place, which he does in this one.
That's dad's role.
But usually at Christmas time, we've made a few of them. Christmas Tree, I play. They got me to play the piano in one.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually is hysterical, because the first time they had me do it, I really was a little reticent, because it's like, I like to play for basically people who are inebriated in a bar, and not for like a million people to watch me on the screen, right? So I said, okay, well, I'll do it, but let me see it first. And they showed it to me. I was like, okay, I can live with that. And my assistant at the time looked at it and said, people are going to think you're faking it. They're going to think you're not playing.
Yeah.
I said, well, put my blooper reel on first. They had to bleep some of my bloopers.
I think I told you last time you were on, maybe the time before, that I started taking piano lessons about 2 years ago, and now I can play Christmas songs by myself. So
isn't that fun?
It's one of the best things. And for anybody out there, if you're, I'm 66. Challenge yourself in ways you haven't been challenged before. That's the best. That's what keeps you young. You got to do different things, like your renovation at the Hilton. Let's do something big at a great facility. And I was telling you before the show, my daughter, my youngest daughter got married there, and great, a night and just great experience.
I love hearing that.
Always great to see you, my friend Greg Marcus. He's the top guy, CEO, president of the Marcus Corp. Keep us in your thoughts, and if you have something you want to say, I always appreciate the fact that you listen and you want to respond to the story we did last week. Love it.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me come in.
Yeah, happy holidays. Merry Christmas and all of that.